This is another Red FM podcast. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, for more podcasts, check out redextra.ie. It's full of great Red FM content.
Hello, this is The Life Hustle, episode 18. I can't believe we're here, 18 episodes in. Thank you for listening. Welcome if you are just joining us for the first time. This series has been to use social media for social good, to kind of create a more authentic viewpoint of everyday life instead of, you know, the perfectly filtered and curated one that we see so often on social media. So Viv and I just got together because we wanted to do a podcast where we shared inspiring stories from people who inspire us and people that we look up to. We've always been really big ambassadors for Cork, I think, Viv, haven't we, through the years?
Yeah,
doing
definitely.
Events and, you know, supporting different charities in Cork. So I think this has been a lovely kind of journey for us so far.
Yeah,
sounds so American, doesn't it?
I know.
This journey.
It's great to sit down with people that we admire and that we've come across and share their stories.
And I can't get over the kind of vary of people we've met. And I think I've taken something from every episode. Like even the last episode, which we got lovely feedback to with Lorraine Spillan. So many people took things away from that about just making little adjustments in your own life that, you know, to make your every day a little bit better and a little bit easier and finding the good in every day, I suppose, really.
I think it's all about learning as you go along. And I mean, we're both like in the 40 bracket.
And, I know. And you know, there's such a big thing at the moment that like we're all so connected and we're all switched on 24 hours a day now. But this is great to sit down face to face with people. Mm-hmm. It's almost like rare time that you never get to do.
Exactly.
Because it like nothing at the end of the day, nothing really replaces, you know, that face-to-face time. You can't really through WhatsApp groups and Messenger and text messages and voice notes. Like you can't really get someone's mood or really see how they are today, or you can't really transfer emotion in those. It's not, you can't really have proper conversations.
I know. And I think people, I suppose, feel that they're in touch with people because they're messaging on Instagram and they're messaging on WhatsApp, but it's not really,
and they are,
as you said.
But it's almost like an excuse or taking over. It's the best we can do now because we're all so busy. But I don't know, it's just, why is it so hard to kind of sit down and have chat?
I know.
Life is so crazy.
I think everybody's so spread out now that it is. You know, before you had your little community in the one spot. And
I know. Well, actually, that brings us nicely to our guest today because she has the busiest house I've ever heard of.
I know. I am never again going to complain about being busy because this woman is literally superwoman. So it's the amazing Lenore from Out in the Sticks. With six.
Yes. Six. We'll say that again. Six.
Out in the
she
six with six.
Six children.
Welcome, Lenore.
Thank you.
What I can't get over, Lenore, is that, so you have, just to break this down for our listeners, you have six children. They start at, your first is 17.
Yeah.
So you have a leaving cert student who is looking for freedom, I presume. You have a 12-year-old, which is like heading into puberty, going into secondary school. 8, 5, so you have someone who's just started primary school. 3, you're in the middle of the craziness. And 1, you have a baby who's just started walking.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally have every single phase
all
at one time.
Teach us everything that you've learned.
One that's looking up driving lessons and college courses, and another one then that's sidestepping around the couch.
So you became a mom quite young.
Yeah, 22.
Okay, so we know each other from years ago in Crosshaven. And yeah, like, because your name is quite unusual, Lenore, it's such a gorgeous name. And you were always absolutely beautiful. And I remember you from just hanging around Crosshaven. I used to go down to my friend Susan's house. And then I was at home one evening and my mom had an article in The Echo. And she said, "Do you know this girl? Like, you have to know her." And the minute she said your name, I was like, "Yeah, I know Lenore." And I could not believe the article. Like, it was all about your journey so far with the six kids and how it all started off with your son being diagnosed with autism. Can you take us back through Bodhi's story?
Yeah, Bodhi's 5 now. When he was 2.5, well, first of all, when he was born with hearing loss on one side. So we initially thought that's what the delays were. And we kind of were fighting for the first 2 years of his life to try and figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm. So did it take 2 years to get that full diagnosis?
Nobody could make a kind of a definitive answer on what was going on. Like, some people wanted to use hearing aids, some people didn't, because sometimes that can cause more harm than good. And we were kind of going back and forth with consultants, and it was kind of a consultant, I went for a second opinion who kind of said, I think there's something more going on here.
Okay.
So I think it was around 2.5 mark. We had a chat with someone from Shine. He came out to the house and went through stuff with us and kind of reconfirmed what we thought ourselves.
Because you had little signs when you were in the doctor's. You mentioned the doctor.
I went to the doctor twice and she kind of, I just don't think she was informed herself, so she couldn't. And I suppose it was something that a child of that age would do, like, you know, hitting their head and being frustrated.
Okay. And you had all girls, so
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I thought it was just a boy thing because I had girls up to then. He was the only boy and he still is. So I just thought,
lucky boy, and he's right sandwiched in the middle of all the women.
He has five mothers now.
Five mothers, and he loves putting on the dresses and getting involved. But no, 2.5 then he was diagnosed. So we were just kind of suddenly flung into the deep end because we didn't have a clue.
Okay. I thought it was really interesting when you said, you know, you had no idea about autism up until then.
Nothing.
And I think only since Instagram, and I follow these amazing moms and different pages, that I am now aware of the different types of autism and, you know, what to, you know, how to treat people. And I love on your page what you, the little things not to say to people, you know.
Yeah, because you do have this misconception and you do think like Rain Man, or they have a brain like a calculator, or there is the bold child in the supermarket. But it's not just that, you know. You have adults, you have friends, you have, you have a lot of people who don't disclose they have autism for fear of being judged.
Okay. So do you think that's changing a bit though?
A little bit, yeah, because social media is just this huge platform now, whereas years ago, years
ago
you wouldn't.
Media.
Can I ask you, do you have help? I'm sitting here slumped in the chair going, how is she even together?
Well, both of our parents still work. Okay. So, Ian's mom and dad live next door.
Okay, wow.
But I find sometimes help is not a good thing because they like routine and sometimes they can just act up. And
I imagine with so many children in a house, routine is very important.
It is, yeah. Like I always say, like the hours of 3 to 6 are just a nightmare. Like it's just, oh my God.
I actually know a mum. I know another mum with 6 and she's told me that her thing at home is the dinner must be done by lunchtime. Because she said if the dinner's done at lunch, it doesn't matter then for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of chaos time,
they're
at least they're all fed.
And
a bit of tea is okay to throw on, or a bit of fruit or whatever, you know, but that's her one thing. Is there anything in your routine that with the kids that is important?
With Bodie, he has to have a certain pizza when he comes in from school or it all goes into disarray. It's just the way his day goes.
Okay.
And then Lidl sold out of all the pizzas last week and I had like women all over the park running for them. And I had 3 days of hell, like, because his routine was knocked off.
Okay. So that's his little comfort thing.
Yeah.
And the world's okay then.
He comes in from school and he just totally distresses for an hour, like, and has a chill out time. Okay. And you kind of don't go near him. And then when he's ready, he'll kind of come around.
Okay.
Because if he comes in and his mood is like sky high, then it has a domino effect on the rest of the house.
Of course.
So it's just trying to make sure they all kind of come in at staggered times. Just trying to make sure that everything is kind of in line.
And what about your own personal diagnosis?
Yeah.
That was in the last year.
I suppose initially when your child is diagnosed with autism, there isn't any services, as we all know. So it kind of preempts you to read up a lot of things yourself and research. And, you know, I suppose it's good because we have social media and you can just type things in. But a lot of the stuff that I was reading about girls and women, it was like a light bulb was going off in my head. And especially one of my daughters is like a carbon copy of me at the same age.
Okay.
And she was struggling massively. Okay. And I thought, hang on a second.
Indie.
No, it's actually one of my older daughters.
Okay.
And I said, okay, if she's struggling massively and there's a question mark over her, then, you know, so I looked in more and more and more. And I actually reached out to a psychologist who does, because there's not a lot of psychologists that do as adults, you know, we're all children based. Mm-hmm. And he was saying a lot of parents actually kind of question it themselves when their children are diagnosed.
Because you're trying to learn about it, I presume.
And a lot of stuff comes to the surface about you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of your own.
So it's a little self-discovery thing.
Absolutely,
as well.
And I think the positive thing I've learned from it is I'm able to tune into them so much better. Like me and Ian, like, Ian would come in and he'd be really high energy. Like, I'm not a morning person, Ian is. Okay. For me. And I find some of the kids are like that, and he can take it to heart sometimes, but it's like, you know, you just kind of need to give them their space a bit.
Okay.
Do you know, so it's good that I can kind of tune into what's going on.
Okay.
Do you find that in an age and a culture where we begin now, well, I feel anyway, we're starting to kind of celebrate our differences, where we teach our own children to embrace their individuality and uniqueness, what areas do you personally feel still need more work and more awareness?
I think that it starts at home.
Okay.
We're all about education and we're all about that, but like, the kids are in school for a couple of hours, they're still going home. If you have a mother in the supermarket and your child's having a meltdown and the mother is like throwing her eyes up and her child is watching her, then her child's going to go into school or going to come up against a child who's doing it and be like, oh, for God's sake. Oh,
learned behaviour.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So if you have a mother who's saying, don't stare now, or why don't you say hello, or saying to the mother, do you want me to take your bag out?
Show a bit of empathy.
And the child is watching this, then the child is going to mirror that behaviour. So the next time they see something, they might go, he's grand, leave him alone. And then it's a ripple effect.
Okay.
Great point. And I think in general, it makes life easier if, unfortunately, you know, we can be kind of conditioned to judge a little bit, you know, even though we may not intend to. And, you know, this kind of operating from a place of kindness can do an awful lot. Yeah, you know, instead of going, oh God, you know, that poor girl there now. As you said, going over and saying, can I give you a hand? Will I take your child, or will I, you know, put that in your trolley for you while you're doing that? It's just a bit of a helping hand. And I think people are nearly afraid to do it now.
Yeah, and I can understand where they're coming from, but I suppose, personally speaking, you're afraid to leave the house when your child is diagnosed because you don't know what way they're going to act. So it's a big thing for a parent to take their child. It might be the first time they've even tried to go to that place.
Mm-hmm. And excuse my ignorance, but is that because you feel, because I know I felt like this with my children at certain phases, but is it because you feel that if they get really noisy in a supermarket that, you'll annoy other people?
You're going to be judged, and if you can't handle it properly because you feel like you're walking on eggshells, because it takes a long time to figure out what's triggering your child.
Okay.
What places to avoid, what places you can go to. And if a parent is kind of saying, all right, look, I'll go to Dunn's now today, I'll just try it, I'll go in, I'll get two things, and then they have an awful experience, then they're not going to want to go back there.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And the child's not going to want to either. So it's very hard. Like, I know personally, like, I stayed at home for the first kind of couple of months. I wouldn't go outside the door.
Okay. Until you found...
until I was a bit more comfortable.
Your confidence.
Yeah. Like, I was afraid what way he was going to react. I didn't have the confidence in case he did. I had a newborn baby at the time as well.
And you said he didn't sleep at all for
a long time. He had a really bad kind of experience with the anaesthetic, and he woke up in the hospital and they never called us, even though we asked him to. So when, by the time I got down, there was kind of six people around him with masks. So he was gripping onto the side of the bed with his eyes closed,
that
screaming.
Sounds horrific.
So what happened was he was just afraid to go to sleep. So we had 6 months of him not sleeping at all. He was actually prescribed chloral hydrate. It's the stuff that knocks you out in the hospital. He got 40 minutes out of it.
What?
And I said, do you know what, Ian? I'll just try this myself to see what exactly we're giving our child like. And it burnt my mouth. It was like alcohol. And I was hungover the next day. I said, like, you know, when someone prescribes something, your child, and you're like, you're just giving them a spoon,
but
that's
you
a
don't
really good
know.
Point.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing to go and try it yourself? I mean, if it's not good enough for me, why would I give it to my child?
I thought, chloral hydrate, like, forget it. So what was happening was Ian was on night, so he'd be up all night screaming. I also was breastfeeding the newborn. Then Ian would come in at 7:45. The girls would be getting up for school, and Ian would let me go to sleep for a few hours, and I'd get up and let him go to sleep. So he'd be going back to work again. So it was like that for 6 months.
A tag team, I know. It's like passing ships.
How did you get a break after
that? It was probably the hardest 6 months we've had.
And you survived it.
Yeah. I don't know how we're looking back, because I say now I'd actually hang upside down like a bat once they all slept. I don't care. Yeah. Do you know? You do anything for your sleep.
Absolutely everything.
Yeah, it is.
And when you're in it, you just think you're never going to see the end.
Especially when you have a newborn to contend with and you're feeding on demand, but then you have a child
who needs
who's
you
just
so
screaming
much.
Because he's afraid to go to sleep.
And that time at night when they all go down, that's your only window in the day, whether you read a book, whether you just fall into the bed yourself early asleep, whether you have all your cleaning and your cooking to do and washing, you know, that's your window. So without that, like, how do you find time for yourself during the day?
I I am a night owl.
Okay.
But the thing is with me is that because Ian's work is so, there's such long hours involved, that the kids do sleep with me, or it's like a crack den. There's one on the floor, there's one in the bed, there's one here, there's bodies everywhere. Now there's a dog in the mix.
That's so funny.
So I feel though that I can even see it in Bodhi, his whole body doesn't go exhale until I'm actually in the bed.
Wow.
Now I did have a stage where, you know, I could have even half an hour upstairs, but I don't get to watch the telly now.
Okay.
It's just the way it is. If Ian is off, perfect. You know, I can go out or whatever.
And do you have a moment where you lie in bed, where once they're all asleep, that you just kind of love it?
You've done this.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. There's actual silence.
But how lovely that must be, and all your babies around you.
Yeah,
it must just be so precious. I mean,
you have Indy across the hall, like Phil Collins. Do, do, do,
do, do, do, on drums.
No, like on the, she takes a bit of the wardrobe and she's like going,
she is
waking
so
everyone
funny.
Up.
Yeah. She's the most beautiful little girl ever. She's absolutely gorgeous. And I loved your walks and your chats. Like you'd be chatting to all of us on Instagram when you're out walking, and you're just so funny on them.
That's like,
I think your sense of humour keeps you going, doesn't it?
It does. And I think if I didn't have the blog, I'd be in a very different place mental health wise. Okay. I always say I'd be like Shirley Valentine, you know, hello all, walking around at home. Do you know, like,
yeah.
Because you don't, you know,
such
yourself, when you have kids, you don't have any adult interaction.
Mm-hmm. No, it is very isolating.
It is, yeah.
And when did you start it? Just
I'd say when Bodhi was just after being diagnosed.
Okay.
So maybe when he was about three.
And did you find that daunting?
Yeah, I did, because you're putting yourself out there and a lot of people question you as to why you're putting your child out there.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to outweigh the good with the bad.
And you know what's right for you and your family and your child. Has, you know, from the whole social media for social good angle, have you linked up with lots of other like-minded mums?
I would say I've had like hundreds and hundreds of messages from mothers who are at home with no one to talk to.
Who've reached out to you.
Whose child is either being diagnosed or they're worried about their child, or just to give two messages to, and they get a response even.
Exactly.
To know that there's somebody on the other side.
To get through the day, like, or to say, geez, I'm glad she said that because I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, kind of gives them a bit of permission to kind of talk about things too.
And I love when Bodhi got the home tutor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was an amazing connection, wasn't it? He came on,
straight
leaps
away.
And bounds, and just started saying words.
He like thrives on praise, so he'll do anything for anyone, you know, when he has the right connection with someone.
Brilliant.
And that's very important for you.
Yeah.
If someone's coming into your family unit to help like that, that it's the right fit.
Absolutely, because it won't work. He won't learn anything. He won't want to learn anything, so.
And for him to trust somebody else.
Yeah.
And he's now in school?
He's now in school. He's in his second year of Sonus.
Brilliant.
Loving it?
Absolutely. We had like an awful time over the midterm because he was looking to go to school. He was looking for his uniform.
And it's a change in routine again.
Yeah, I can imagine that. How do you explain that for a whole week?
I kind of explain it like, you know, we get up, we're like, oh, it's the midterm. You know, what do we do today? We might, or look, we go in the car, we go for a spin. You can't do that. You have to have a visual schedule on the fridge of like today, Monday, there's a picture of the trampoline, a picture of the park on the Tuesday. So he can track the week. It's like, you know.
And he must feel like he has a bit of control then around that. He knows what's going on.
He does. It makes such a difference. Like I really find visual things. He's starting to read now and I didn't know he could read.
Okay.
There was an Argos catalogue he picked up the other day and he's like rocking around the Christmas tree. He was on the back of it.
Amazing.
I was like,
did you burst with pride? your heart must have burst with happiness.
Because his thing always was numbers and letters he was fixated on. And one day he just like turned around and he went to school at like 8:30 and he came back and he just went over to the cupboard and he came back and he spelled out yield. He was after remembering it the whole day from a road sign.
Okay.
And next thing we were getting 20th Century Fox.
What? That's incredible.
All these things like Pixar animations.
Wow.
Things he had visually, he'd seen and remembered.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the first way he learned, first time he spoke was repeating a line from a movie.
Okay. So he retains things like that very well.
Yeah, so that's just
the
way.
That's amazing.
It's music with Indy, it's song, and with him it seems to be words and kind of movies and lines and quotes and stuff.
So has Indy been diagnosed as well? Okay, so when did that happen?
Just earlier this year.
Okay. How old is Indy?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah. But
did
I
did you think when this was happening again, like, were you absolutely?
Yeah, because she was completely different to Bodhi.
Okay.
She hit all of her development. There was no concerns with her developmental wise. Her hearing was fine. She slept fine. She'd no issues with food. She'd eat anything. She'd eat a salad bowl.
Wow.
Anything. And when she turned two, it was like someone switched a light.
Really?
She started lining things up, like, uniform wise. Actually, I went into Shay's room. Shay's the 17-year-old.
Okay.
And all of her bottles of tan were on her on her dressing table, and they were all, like, you know, like a
front facing
display. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, uniform. And I went, hardly. She did that because her room, you can even see the floor. So she came in and I said, you hardly lined up your bottles of tan. She's like, no. And she said, it's indie. And she says, I know that she's on spectrum. It was Shay that called it.
Wow.
And then light switches constantly have to be turned on and off, opening, closing doors. Just all these, like, behaviours just came out of nowhere. And Bodhi didn't have any of those.
Okay. So it was new for you.
So I was like, what is going on?
Did it take you long to get the diagnosis?
It did. I had to hire a solicitor.
Wow.
Because there's such, I could have been waiting 2 years minimum.
And this is the process whereby parents now are having to hire a solicitor.
Yeah.
You have to cover the cost of that outlay. And you have to take the HSE to court to get the
assessment
that you are entitled to get.
Early intervention is absolutely vital.
Absolutely. And I can see that with Bodhi. And I knew we didn't have 2 years to wait. Mm-hmm. I knew she couldn't go to a play school. She'd get lost in it.
How long did that process take when you hired the solicitor?
It was fairly quick because she was actually one of three more. So he was going to court for three of my children. So
isn't it such a disgrace that you have to do that?
Yeah, but I knew that because the delays were just getting worse, that I just didn't have time to sit around and wait. So I was just thinking of her. I needed to get her into the school she needed to go to, and I wasn't going to get her in there without the piece of paper that they look for.
Okay.
So they're telling you one thing but taking it away with the other. So I was lucky that she was diagnosed. It was in May. And then the girls were diagnosed then in the summer.
Your two older daughters.
Yeah.
So you have four family.
Yeah. Four of six.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, it's a diagnosis, but it's not a label.
No.
Times have changed.
I suppose the older girls especially are in school, and like I know where people are coming from. They're saying everybody's putting a label on their child now, everybody. But it's not. It's just the system we live in and the education system. There's such a lack of SNAs. There's such a lack of support in the school that unless they have something on paper, they're not going to get the access. So it's the child that's going to lose out.
And that extra attention can make all the difference in their development as they progress through the school system.
We all know each child is different. I'm sure if we sat all of our children down, they'd be completely different personalities, completely different way of looking. But they also have a completely different way of learning and getting through.
And processing information.
Yes.
And, you know, we can't tar everyone with the same.
No.
You know, the way we were schooled, as fine as it was, we all turned out grand. You know, creativity wasn't nurtured, really, you know, through my schooling anyway. It was more, you know, you had to be academic. And if you weren't, well, you know, you didn't do your homework right, and you were highlighted for not doing well in tests. But maybe you were good at other things, you know. And I think,
and the more I'm learning about it, the more I feel sorry for the people that were undiagnosed back in our day, and just fell behind or were kind of classed as the weird one, or you know, like you just know
it's a gross ignorance.
Exactly.
It's a mass ignorance on, you know, from a cultural point of view. That I think we're very lucky from a positive place that there's awareness and understanding about it now. And, you know, it's as much as I'm sure there are so many challenges for people at, you know, on the spectrum. It's a diagnosis. It's not a label.
Yeah. It's not a life sentence. Now, obviously, I'm not saying, because there's a lot of parents out there who have children who are severely, you know, on the spectrum, and they have huge challenges and they need respite care. And
are they fighting
all the time? Like, you probably heard that woman last week outside, she kind of stood outside Blackpool because her child is aged 18 and suddenly
No support or
care. She drives to Cork and Kerry to get him a hot chocolate just to keep him safe.
What an amazing mother.
If he's lashing out in the house or whatever, then they all have to lock themselves into different rooms, but there's nowhere for them to go. There's no help. So it's just, we have to be mindful that the kids are going to turn into adults.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we can't let them down when
exactly.
They become
adults. So, you know, it's trying to kind of look after them now so that we're kind of giving them the life skills, we're giving them the support so mm-hmm. that when they are 18, we're not going to have this kind of situation.
Yeah.
But I know each kind of case is unique. Case. Yeah.
And you are an assistance dog recipient with the Irish Guide Dogs. How has that changed your home?
I only went in about 3 weeks ago. The process is absolutely, like the training was absolutely amazing. It's probably one of the best weeks I ever did.
So was it for one of the children in particular?
Yeah, Bodhi.
Okay.
They had a strict criteria that you had to apply for. So Bodhi kind of fit into the age group. It was age 4 to 6.
Okay.
So yeah, Ebby.
Ebby.
She's a lab.
Gorgeous.
She is just amazing. Like my 16-month-old can like be up around her, whatever, and she's just laying there.
Slabs.
Yeah.
And how long is she in?
She's only in the house 2 weeks.
Oh, is that all?
No way.
Yeah. But the difference is amazing.
Is it? Yeah. You already see a difference.
Yeah. Like Bodhi had a really, really bad meltdown last week. He came in from school. Then he was starting kind of to trigger Indy. So I just said to Ian, I'll just take him in the car. And I suppose people have to remember there's not like an instant bond. The dog's not a robot. The dog's still the dog.
Of course. It's like an adjustment period.
Exactly. But what happened was he got into the car and then he just said, Ebby. So he wanted Ebby to come with him. So he knows like
there is
something there. A lot of people are like, you know, seeing the dog out walking and expecting that kind of an attachment walk and that bond. But there's something a bit more, like if he can seek her out when he needs to.
Already.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of kids that are nonverbal will do that when they're kicking out. You know, the dog will automatically go to them and it just helps calm them.
Brilliant.
So
there's another mum that we've had in, Nicole, and her son Riley has
Willow.
Willow. And I adore seeing pictures of Willow as well on Instagram, and Riley going through a supermarket and places that she, you know, would have been a challenge for her in the past before she had the dog. So it's amazing that these resources are there now.
Absolutely. Like the dogs are amazing. Like there was 4 other women I was in with for the week, you know, one has twins, 2 of them are on the spectrum, but the dogs only match to 1 child.
Okay.
So that's a challenge itself. And there's another girl in, she's in Kerry, and she's got 2 children on the spectrum and she homeschools them. Okay. So she doesn't get a break. So it's trying to now contend with a dog in the mix of the 2 everything. Kids at home. So
no 2 scenarios are the same. No 2, like it's that rainbow of people on the planet, you know, no 2 of us, like no 1 solution fits everyone.
No, I mean, we can probably identify and relate with stuff, but mm-hmm. not everything is the same. Like,
and you are hitting a milestone birthday soon.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. 14 December. Wow. Can't believe I just said that.
It's out now. Yeah, it's out. Yeah. But what are your plans? So you have a really amazing goal set for your birthday.
Yeah. I've decided, like, instead of a party, I kind of want to do 40 at 40. So...
Brilliant idea.
There's a couple of things I wanted to do. So I've kind of hit a few of them. But the big one is Kilimanjaro.
Tell us about this. So you're going
Sorry now, can we just pause there a second? I think I want to go to Ibiza with the girls next year. Like, I want to have a little party somewhere. And then the superwoman is,
There was a documentary maybe about 10 years ago. I remember Gary Barlow and Cheryl Cole and all of them did it for charity. And I watched it and I remember going, I'd love to do that someday. And I think as kind of motherhood takes over and you are at home, and I think I lost a cousin kind of 18 months ago, and she was kind of 41. So she didn't get to experience a lot of things. She didn't have any family or partner or anything like that.
And you were really close to Audrey.
We were really close, yeah. So I think that really hit home at me as well. It was like, you know, your time isn't guaranteed. You need to make the best out of things. And just because
life
your
is for living.
Six, doesn't, you know, change stuff, like, because you have kids that are looking at you, and I kind of want to do more things than find the uniform top and a pair of socks, you know.
And it's, as you said, you do get lost in parenthood, don't you? You've lost yourself a little bit.
Absolutely.
Which is totally understandable.
So you're going to be training for the climb?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
But you're not going alone. There's a team of you going.
No, there's not. I'm after roping in 3 others.
Brilliant.
So you have one of the Shine team,
do
you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was lovely that you've included them.
I tried to rope in from someone from Sunnis, but they're not very forthcoming.
Okay.
So, because I said if I was going to do it, I was going to do it for charity. So the Irish Grey Dogs and Sunnis and Shine. Brilliant. So Sunnis is Bodie's school in Carriglane and Shine is Shine Centre for Autism in Carriglane, where Indy goes to, but Bodie had gone there as well. So,
and you have raised, your goal is to raise 20k
yeah.
for Kilimanjaro,
yeah.
and people can support that online.
Yeah,
you already have over €5,000 raised.
Yeah, okay.
And I loved that you said that you won't be using the money to get there.
No,
that it's a sponsored trip,
yeah.
and that you are aiming to give everything that you make
yeah,
to charity.
100% is going to go to them.
That's incredible.
So I'm paying for half the trip myself, and actually a businessman's after coming forward to put up the €2,000.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that.
Because he's been following the story about the guide dogs especially.
Can we just say, whoever the anonymous businessman is out there, what a beautiful thing to do.
Brilliant.
How kind.
So at least, but I was always adamant from day one that I wasn't going to take any money out of the pot. It was all going to go, because they can see where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
And you see how it benefits families.
Exactly. It's the families, like, because, you know, you can't just send your child anywhere, and you are very hesitant, especially if you have a non-verbal child going in the door somewhere. If they're having a hard time, they're not able to tell you. So for you to see your child get so excited and run in the door, or be hugging another child at the door, because you do have these fears that they're not going to make friends, or they're not going to be able to learn social cues. So to see them develop these things and actually go, oh my God, I've got 3 hours where I can actually not worry.
Yes, that they looked after and cared for.
Exactly.
And you said you got more from the couple of hours when you met Shine.
Absolutely.
Than you did in the whole year trying to investigate.
Yeah, it's a free service. They have an advocacy service, but it's for families nationwide.
I've never heard of it. This is amazing.
So Kieran Kennedy and Shine, like, he will either call out to the house, or you can go to him and he goes through everything with you. He goes through, like, your entitlements, what you should do. You know, talks to you about forms, things you wouldn't have a clue about. Like, Ian and I were kind of going around in a fog.
That must be a massive encouragement and support at a time when you're really trying to put one foot in front of the other.
It is. And what I like about them is that it was set up by parents of children on the spectrum. So they know exactly.
Brilliant.
They've walked the walk before
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Okay. That's brilliant.
So what can we do to help with this fundraising?
Well, we'll be doing a couple of events kind of throughout the year. I'm after kind of sending out loads of sponsorship cards for, I'm doing a draw for a trip to Madrid.
Brilliant.
I'm Fave, hoping, that's us now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to back. Do a trip to London to Harry Potter Studios as another.
Fantastic.
A kind of a prize. But there'll be another one or two surprises.
So there's a lot of organising in it.
There is. Yeah. It's like a full-time job, to be honest.
Because you really needed one.
Yeah, I really
I know.
Needed it. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a sold-out brunch in December. So,
yeah, the 7th of that's December. Amazing. But that's Laura from Shine. She's really good at organising
She's brilliant.
These
yeah.
things. Like, and I'm hoping to hit the schools in Cork too.
Okay.
So yeah, that's another kind of target of mine. I'm kind of setting myself kind of quarterly targets of
that's
what I want to reach and what I want to do and kind of
and there's a GoFundMe page.
There's ifundraise.ie/20k for Kilimanjaro.
20k for Kilimanjaro. Yeah. Okay, well, we need everyone to get on board and empty out the piggy banks and support it, because it's such a brilliant idea.
I love the story that you said one of the kids in the school raised some money.
There was a little guy following, his mom was following me on social media, and he loves watching Bodie.
Okay.
And he's the same age as Bodie, so he gave him his Tooth Fairy money because he wanted to go to Bodie school. And the Echo as well, I'm writing for them every month and updating them and kind of why I'm doing it. And so that's good. So, because, you know, there's an older generation that aren't really social media savvy.
Like my mom showed me your article.
Yeah, you know, so I like reaching those, because I have an aunt like who's 74 in Blackpool who isn't, you know, and she gets the Echo in the door every day.
Yeah.
And she's learning about autism.
Exactly. And I can imagine a lot of grandmothers who have children with autism that are now learning lots.
Absolutely.
From that.
So I think it's good where people can get that kind of outlet too, you know. It's not just social media, because there is a big gap in generation information, I think.
Great point. There definitely is. And actually, we were talking in when you arrived a while ago, and I thought it was very interesting. I was saying that my grandmothers, one had 12 and one had 10 children, and which wasn't at all unusual 60 years ago. You were saying your parents come from big families as well. But there was great community back then. Like, people would call in with dinners, pass clothes along the line. The older kids would help rear the younger ones. It really did take a village. But women, they went to mass, they met up face to face. We're more connected now, but it's superficial. So, you know, text, messenger, WhatsApp, voice notes, they've replaced human interaction, as we were saying a while ago. What do you find are the biggest challenges for you as a mum, as a parent today? What do you think is our generation's biggest challenge?
I think a lot of perception, because we have Instagram and Facebook, a lot of it is how you look and how you're perceived and keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, you know, there are a lot of us when we're mothers who suffer with our mental health. We don't talk about it because we're afraid of what people will say. I have spoken about my own issues, but I think...
Would you say it's fair to say everyone goes through that at
they
some
do,
stage.
They just don't.
Life is ups and downs.
They are. And I think you have the whole kind of mommy mafia clicks at the gates that can be quite intimidating. You do have the parents who aren't going to be putting themselves out there for coffee mornings because it's just not too their much. Thing.
Which is okay, yeah.
But I think I really miss, like, because I grew up in Blackpool where the doors were open, all the neighbours would be out for
community.
A chat. And, like, it's just gone. But I do think, like, watching my own daughters now, and it's all about how you look, and
that scares me so much. Yeah. And, like, we ran a model agency for 15 years, mm. and how I look is actually the last. I should have come out of all of that side of the business being obsessed with how I look, but I, through life experience, maybe over the last few years and certain things happening to me, I embrace my flaws, and I don't think they're perfect, but life isn't perfect, and I don't look in the mirror and think, oh, I need to change that thing about myself, or I need to be skinnier or bigger or leaner. Like, I just feel very grateful for being here and having my family, and like maybe it's priorities change.
And I don't think it's a coincidence either that we have a massive surge of teens in CAMHS with depression.
Very
and
good
stuff
point.
Because they can't handle it, because I always say, like, when we were teenagers and we were going to school, if we had an argument with someone, we were able to park it at the door, mm-hmm. unless
totally.
We saw them. But now there's no getting away from it.
At night
your
on
phone.
The phones, yeah.
There's no getting away from your phone. You have a 24/7.
It's like a new layer of pressure that we didn't have. This
Absolutely.
Other, like, world online.
I know if I was a teenager now, there's no way I'd be able to handle it. I don't think I'd be strong enough. You'd have to, you know, you do really need a good core. You do need a good scaffolding support system.
And doesn't that come from home?
It does.
I mean, we can't avoid that our kids are going to be online and that they're going to, you know, be puffing out the lips on Snapchat doing selfies and conforming, I guess, with what they think culturally is cool for them. But I don't know. I think it starts at home.
It does. It does. Like, the schools can only do so much. You do have to be mindful of how you are talking about yourself as a mum mm-hmm. as well.
Great point.
Of how you say, oh, Jesus, look, the state of my stomach in this.
No.
You have people looking at you. Mm-hmm. You have listening to you.
I know.
They absorb everything that you're saying or doing.
You're actually conditioning your children.
You are. Like, I mean, we talk about, like, passing down recipes, like you cook something that your mom did. Mm-hmm. So you remember your mom. Like, you can, I suppose, if you look back or you kind of think back of your mom in the kitchen or your dad or your granny or whatever, you remember how they smelt, what they said, how you felt, but you don't remember what shape they were.
No.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, you might remember her arms being nice and soft, like, but you don't remember, Jesus, she had a fat ass, she couldn't get into a pair of Spanx. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just
that's
like, it's
point.
Memories. Like, you're,
that's a great
your
point.
Your kids, you're trying to instill in your kids, not...
So it's moments.
Yeah.
It's being, you know, being instead of looking or doing or...
And being
just
present.
Being.
And if you're looking at your phone all the time, they're going to be looking at their phone.
Mm. No, I'm a stickler for looking at my phone and stuff like that. But I do make a big deal out of, because there's six kids, huge deals out of their birthdays.
Okay. Lovely.
And kind of like making big ordeals out of it because it's just their one day kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I have a 17, like, she's going to be 18 in April. Like, it's just gone.
Wow.
So, you know.
Do you think she's matured a lot from having so many siblings?
I do. But I was saying to you earlier, she's like, I'm donating my eggs. I'm freezing them.
Oh.
I'm going travelling. I can't deal with this at all. So I thought, is it the best contraception ever? And I have friends of hers who come in, like teenage boys, and Bodhi will be like, hello, John. And he'll know damn well his name is David. Like, you know, it's like, my name is David. But, like, they're so nervous because of the autism thing to take into, and it's like, okay. I don't know what way. And he's like, okay, John. And he's like, okay. And my name is David. Then he'd be like, come on, John, we go to the trampoline. Okay. So your man's outside for 20 minutes on the trampoline. Brilliant. She's like, did he call yet? And, do you know, but he's afraid to say no. But that's it's nice. Like, I have those kind of a group of kids that come into the house and are totally kind of engrossed in autism.
Okay.
So it's like, oh. Oh, he's got no clothes on again. Okay. Do you know, like,
that's great.
Just the norm here.
That's
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so lovely. But that's real life.
Yeah. yeah.
That's outstanding. And what a beautiful house you have to, you yeah. know, for
it's
all of
manic.
Your kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just, but it's perfect. These are the good years.
Yeah,
they really
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. And you seem to take it in your stride.
Can I ask you one more question? Yeah. What is happiness for you? Like, where is your happy place in every day or every week?
I think I do need... I've learned that I do need me time because it does affect me as a mom and a partner and a wife and a friend if I don't.
If you lose yourself.
If I lose myself, yeah. So I do need those. I do procrastinate with the walking, but I'm obviously going to snap out of that one now with Kilimanjaro. But I do find that that's a great headspace for me.
So to get out in the fresh air
yeah,
and walk.
Yeah, I do love to try and drag one of the kids with me because they do use it for like a... We have a chat like in back and forth questions.
Individual time.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. And kids love that. I
yeah.
think they love just those little nature simple walks.
Yeah. And so I like to kind of pick out one-on-one time and kind of make an effort, you know, either with the kids and Ian, do you know what I mean? Because it's hard to nail it down. But I find that things do go pear-shaped if I don't have that kind of all lined up.
And did you find that friends dropped off as you got busy as a mom, or, you know,
yeah.
was it harder to nurture them?
I still have like the same close friends that I was in school with, you know, nothing changed there, but I just wouldn't be, now I think that's just being a mom in general because mm-hmm. I'm just so busy. But there is an element of you can't just rock up and knock at the door.
Okay.
Because if there's something going on in the house, I can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is like an, I'm sure you can understand, you'll say you'll meet someone and then it'll be like 3 years
later. 2 years
later,
yeah.
yeah.
That's
so,
my line now. It's
yeah.
like, we have to go for
maybe
coffee. And then
50,
I'm like, actually,
yeah.
no. Why did I just say that again?
You know, so it's just one of these things. But I do find that, you know, there are a lot of people who don't understand autism and distance themselves because they feel so uncomfortable.
Okay.
So there is an element to that too. But I know...
It's kind of an old-fashioned stigma
yeah.
now at this stage. And I think it's up to us all to educate ourselves. And thanks to the likes of you and other adults and parents of children on the spectrum, all different ages of people who are sharing information online, it's educating us. Mm. And there's nothing better than education to move us into... a more modern time and a more modern, up-to-date way of thinking about everything and
I think
understanding.
It's good that people, well, like, I definitely share the ups and the, you know, the downs, and it's good that people see all versions of autism because
exactly.
I have the whole range in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people I find might have a child younger than Bodhi who they kind of hope, it's giving them a bit of hope as to things down the line, and
brilliant.
You're sharing stuff that works for you. So they might be able to try it. It's not like it's a paid ad.
Yeah.
You're just sharing your journey.
It's honest.
Yeah. So people are getting it. And I have cried on there because I have been worried about where he's going to school. But I know like Mary Jo's at home, probably on her own, crying about the same things because she got a letter. So at least she's like, Jesus, thank God.
Someone
it's not just me, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people need. They need to be relatable rather than perfect with the selfies and the...
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. You are an absolute inspiration. I wish we could go to Kilimanjaro.
I know.
There's
maybe
space.
We will.
I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, let's get training.
You know, we wish you the best of luck. We want everyone to get online and follow you. Out in the Sticks with Six is your Instagram page and Facebook.
Yeah.
And people can find the GoFundMe link there to donate. Every brown penny counts. So again, get out the piggy banks and
donate.
Do you know
what I find, actually, we spend too much on toys for Santa.
Yeah.
Like,
great,
if everybody
we do.
Just put aside a fiver, you know, it would make such a difference.
It's 19,341 feet is the actual claim.
Okay.
So we were aiming for like a euro to be like
brilliant.
Sponsored a euro a foot.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
Everyone gave a euro,
yeah,
do you know? But
it's so doable. I love your positivity, I love your can-do approach, and I love your openness and honesty. It's so refreshing and it's lovely online as well.
Well,
I think
done.
It's brilliant.
You need a major pat on the back, and just in case you don't think you're amazing,
you are. We are bowing to you here. You know, there's a saying that great things never came from comfort zones, and brilliant. You're just destined for great things.
From the one who doesn't like heights and doing Kilimanjaro. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh,
thanks,
you are
so
a breath of fresh air. Thanks for joining us, Lenore, and we wish you the best. So again, out in the sticks with Six online, and go hit up her FundMe page as well, because as we were saying, just give €1, just give €5. If you can give more, amazing. So thank you to everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed episode 18. You can find all of our other episodes over on redextra.ie, along with all of the other fantastic content over on Red FM's platform. Thank you to our Red FM family for housing our little project here. We do really love our mornings coming in here, chatting to people and getting out of the house. It's lovely. It's lovely having a face-to-face chat. It's so nice. Thank you to Killian Pettit, as always, on production. And we will see you for episode 19.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Red FM podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out redextra.ie for more great Red FM content.